From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've decided to join us for today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, which features the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with a study of the law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Here, God claims the exclusive right to the worship of every human being. Over and over, he states that he alone is God, that there is no other God but he. Consequently, he condemns every form of idolatry in the strongest possible terms. Although idols are not gods, the power behind them is the power of Satan himself, who seeks to turn men from following the true and living God. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 6. His ways are everlasting. What he hath done at one time, he will do yet again. Man's ways are variable, but God's ways are everlasting. There are many reasons for this most comforting truth. Among them are the following. The Lord's ways are the result of wise deliberation. He ordereth all things according to the counsel of his own will. Human action is frequently the hasty result of passion or fear, and is followed by regret and alteration. But nothing can take the Almighty by surprise, or happen otherwise than he has foreseen. His ways are the outgrowth of an immutable character, and in them the fixed and settled attributes of God are clearly to be seen. Unless the Eternal One himself can undergo change, his ways, which are himself in action, must remain forever the same. Is he eternally just, gracious, faithful, wise, tender? Then his ways must ever be distinguished for the same excellences. Beings act according to their nature. When those natures change, their conduct varies also. But since God cannot know the shadow of a turning, his ways will abide everlastingly the same. Moreover, there is no reason from without which could reverse the divine ways, since they are the embodiment of irresistible might. The earth is said by the prophet to be cleft with rivers, mountains tremble, the deep lifts up its hands, and sun and moon stand still, when Jehovah marches forth for the salvation of his people. Who can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? But it is not might alone which gives stability. God's ways are the manifestation of the eternal principles of right, and therefore can never pass away. Wrong breeds decay and involves ruin, but the true and the good have about them a vitality which ages cannot diminish. This morning, let us go to our Heavenly Father with confidence, remembering that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in Him the Lord is ever gracious to His people.
selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free to 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Beside me there is no God. I know not any. I recognize none. There was no God with me at the beginning. There is no God with me now. And when all is said and done and everything is wrapped up, there will be no other God but I. That is the constant testimony of the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament continues the witness. Paul writes in Ephesians 4 of one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In 1 Timothy 1:17, he gives this great ascription of praise unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He tells Timothy in the second chapter, there is one God. You remember how Jude finishes his epistle with another great outburst of praise to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. So here's the voice of Scripture. There is only one God, one Creator, one Upholder, one Disposer of all things, one Ruler, one Savior. In contrast with all of this, the gods of men are mere creatures of the men who worship them. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 4, and he says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. There's none other God but one. We know that an idol is nothing. It's a mere nothing. It's a vanity. It doesn't exist. The psalmist said in Psalm 115, their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hand. Isaiah says in chapter 20 or 41, you are of nothing. You're of nothing. Your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. So idols are nothing. Other gods do not exist. Idols are proof of the insanity of the sinners who worship them. We have read tonight that very ironical passage in Isaiah chapter 44, how a man cuts down a tree. He burns part of it in the fire in order to cook his food. He roasts on that. He warms himself and says, aha, I'm warm. And then with the rest of that tree that he's cut down, he fashions a god and he falls down before it and says, thou art my God. Utter folly. Total, absolute insanity. Jeremiah says in chapter 51 and 17, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Idolatry always brutalizes men. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. There's no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they'll perish. They have eyes that see not. They have ears that hear not. They have hands that work not. They have feet that walk not. They are borne in the shoulders of those who make them and worship them. So idols are nothing. They don't exist. But that raises a question. Why then does the Bible take idolatry so seriously? Is the first commandment wasting its ammunition? Is it chasing specters as it would oppose idolatry? It's very clear that the Word of God does take idols seriously, and with very good reason. A modern day Dutch theologian has put it this way. He says, they are not gods, but only called gods. Still, they are very real powers and able to enslave a person totally. That's very true. The sun, for example, the moon, the stars, the earth, rain, thunder, fertility. All these things are real, but they're not gods. That, however, doesn't stop people from treating them as gods. In Scripture, you read a lot about Baal. Well, let's take Baal as an example. From the second chapter of Hosea, if you study the second, eighth, and twelfth verses particularly, from the second chapter of Hosea, we gather that Baal was looked on as the author of the fertility of the land. Now, as Baal worship spread, the idea of fertility spread beyond the land into animals and people. But Baal was looked upon as the author of fertility. Now, as a god, Baal did not exist. The fertility he represented was God's creation. It was God's gift. But alienated from his creator, fallen man worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. That's idolatry. And it's very serious, because you'll see the lie that inheres in it. It is the lie of an alternate god. There is some other god beside Jehovah. And the Scripture teaches us that the father of the lie of an alternate god is Satan. So that in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 20, Paul says, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, and he's talking about them sacrificing to idols, he says, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. That's a very important text. The sacrifices of nations to idols, says the inspired apostle, are sacrifices to devils. In other words, behind every idol lurks the devil himself. And that's what gives idolatry its awful grip. For the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So while other gods do not exist, Satan exists. And Satanism exists. These are dreadful realities, and they wreak havoc across the world. Nonetheless, Satan is God's creature. He lives under all the limitations of a creature. The Lord governs him. The Lord has broken his head at Calvary. The Lord will soon cast him bound into a bottomless pit and then into the lake of fire forever. Jehovah alone is God. This is his exclusive dignity. He says in Isaiah 43:10, if I may break into the middle of the verse, understand that I am he. Before me there was no god formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there's no Savior. Here is the exclusive dignity of Jehovah. He's our Creator, and he alone can be our Savior. And that's why in Isaiah 45 and 22 he says, look unto me and be saved, for I am God, and there is none else. So the very first thing the first commandment teaches us is the exclusive dignity of Jehovah. But it then teaches us the essential duty of man. Now, what is the essential duty? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The idea there is that we must acknowledge Jehovah as the only true God and our own God. We must worship him as our God, and we must repudiate every other god. That is the duty of every man, not just of those who are supposed to be Jews or Christians, not those who say that they accept the God of the Bible, but of all men. No man or nation has any excuse for ignorance of the Lord. Romans 1, 19 and 20 makes it clear that that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the foundation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Listen, so that they are without excuse. There's not a nation on earth that does not owe worship to the Lord Jehovah. So the Lord claims worship from every man, and He holds the entire world, heathen and otherwise, to the standard of His law. You remember what Paul wrote in Romans 3:19? We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. God is saying He holds the entire world, Jew and Gentile, subject to His law, and He commands their worship. And that's true of everybody, but it's particularly true of His covenant people, as we saw a couple of Sabbath nights ago, looking at the verse 2 in this book of Exodus chapter 20. When you are His redeemed, He says, particularly, I command this worship from you. Now, what is worship? I'm not going to preach a long sermon on worship. It's a very comprehensive word. It includes every duty that we owe to the Lord. We must know Him and make sure we know the true God according to His word. For this is life eternal, that they may know Thee. The converse is also true. This is death eternal, that they don't know Thee. So it's vital that we know Him and receive His word and refuse the lie. We must adore Him and do homage to His majesty. He says in Isaiah 33 and 13, acknowledge my might. We must trust Him. As we noted, faith is one of the weighty matters of the law. We must confess Him in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. We must love Him, said Jesus, with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. Peter says we must fear God. We must pray to God. In Isaiah 45 and 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and thy Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me, or ye may command me. So the Lord says, I'm God. If you believe I'm God, pray. If you believe I'm your God, call upon me. We must pray. We must praise Him, giving thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And obviously, we must obey Him, for to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So this is the whole duty of man. What doth the Lord require of thee? This is what He requires of thee, to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. But you know what was said about the foreigners whom the king of Assyria planted in Samaria is all too true of mankind generally. There's a terrible statement in 2 Kings 17 and 29. Every nation made gods of their own. The duty of man is clear, but every nation made gods of their own, and men are still busy in that same pursuit. Idolatry is rampant.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.